You're listening to the B-Fox and B-Frank show. We are in the heart of conference season, and some teams are really starting to make their move, and that is who I want to start with this week. Big winner. Hard to have a better week than this in the SEC. South Carolina, the Gamecocks blew away Kentucky on their home floor in what was an outstanding environment, something that we have come to see from more and more teams in the Southeastern Conference as they have embraced basketball as also being a sport. And following that up, going to Tennessee, getting a win over the Volunteers. Dalton Knecht, of course, did get his, but the rest of the Vols, South Carolina, completely shuts down. 10 of 38 shooting, 28 points from everyone not named Knecht. Just an outstanding week. And I mean, this was a team that many thought should have been ranked in the latest AP poll, but I think next week there should be little doubt. This is definitely a top 25 team.
They're playing great basketball. There's no doubt about that. Outside, I mean, the blemish is Georgia, and I don't think Georgia's actually as bad as a lot of people might think this year. Losing at Alabama is not a bad loss. They got smoked in that game, but it's overall not horrible. And they've got a chance to avenge that Georgia loss coming up on the road here. But they've got a pretty nice schedule before they get a matchup with Auburn in a game that both teams should be ranked in. So South Carolina's playing real well. Just those three losses on the season. Again, Georgia is the blemish. They've lost to Clemson on the road, and they're a half game out of the SEC title race. Like, this is a very tight race. We expected the top of the league to be good. No one really anticipated South Carolina to be up there. Michi Johnson is having a great season for the Cox as well.
Yeah, obviously the non-conference schedule was horrific. The one opportunity really was Clemson when both teams were undefeated. So I understand that's why people are not really cutting the Gamecocks as much slack. But you look at what they've done in SEC play, and especially this week, taking on, you know, arguably the two best teams in the conference and beating both of them in sort of two different styles of play. And again, we've talked about this team, you know, didn't really get much going with G.G. Jackson, but, you know, Michi Johnson has been great this year. Cooper, two outstanding games, 20 points and 18 points against Kentucky and Tennessee, respectively. And, you know, you have to tip your cap to Lamont Paris and what he's kind of been able to build, because, you know, there are passionate fans for South Carolina football games. You know, who doesn't love Sandstorm? They've gotten Darude there this year, I believe, for a game. But so to kind of replicate that environment for a basketball game really shows you know, the fan base is there. They're just kind of waiting for, you know, the basketball team to kind of get to that point. And Frank Martin had a good run of success, but, you know, it had waned by the end of his time. And now it definitely looks like it's back on the upswing.
Yeah. Lot to be excited about. Young coach, fiery coach, a guy that can get it done. They're playing great defense, I think, is the biggest thing in a league that plays really good defense. They're top 50 KenPom. Just seeing the offense continue to progress as they play that kind of slower, methodical style is going to be important through the rest of the season.
The other SEC team I wanted to shout out, you mentioned them, Alabama, had a rough go of it recently, bounced back very nicely. Huge win over the rival Auburn in what was an extremely chippy game. Followed that up with a blowout of LSU. And specifically, Mark Sears, I think, really playing like an All-American caliber guard. Not the most efficient game against Auburn. Still finished with 22 points, 8 assists. And he's been doing things like that just about every night out. You know, Alabama still pretty beloved by the metrics. A lot of questions around them going into SEC play, but for the most part, with the exception of, you know, kind of a rough outing against Tennessee, they've been playing very well. And I mean, the offense, when they get going, there's nobody better in the country.
Yeah, 109 points against LSU. It says it all right there. When they get moving, like you said, they are tough to beat. They average almost 90 points a game, which is absolutely insane in college basketball. They rebound the ball well. They share the ball well. Overall, like you said, metrically, they're pretty well received. Top offense in the country right now. Defensively, there is quite a gap, but it is still one of those that isn't something they can't overcome. And not to mention, with the offense humming along as it does, they've got a real good chance. I think the only thing that would worry me is seeing some of those early season losses to teams like Clemson, who have fallen off, Ohio State, who has drastically fallen off. Obviously, who you are in the non-conference can be very different from who you are in conference play. But keeping that in the back of your mind as you get into the thick of the SEC schedule, really, you know, looking at that stretch where you have Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Tennessee back to back to back towards the end of February, early March, can be kind of like that litmus test to see how far this team has come from those early games. Otherwise, they've only lost to top 10 teams.
Yeah, I mean, those losses have not aged particularly well, but the thing you can say is the progression over the course of the season has been pretty solid. And I mean, kind of something that we've seen with some of Muss's Arkansas teams, this one, obvious exception, it does not look like things are getting better, but,
no,
you know, kind of some bumps in the non-conference and over the course of the season getting better and better. The record might not have been the best near the end of the year, but they're a team you don't want to face in March. Alabama, yeah, at least has the benefit. The record is not that bad, 14-6 right now. And yeah, you know, they're a team like, well, this isn't a complimentary comparison right now, but they're a team like Arizona where the good offensive metrics are legitimate in that they're not taking the air out of the ball. They're getting up and running. They are maximizing the number of possessions they can get. So they're not like a Virginia in most years where you look up and they're top 15 in offensive efficiency. It's like, well, let's take that with a grain of salt. I mean, the thing that'll be important to note going forward is really just how much they've learned lessons from last year. And I think the jury is still out on that one from Nate Oates. This is a team that seems like they will live and die by the three. If they get in a situation, especially in the tournament, where that's not working, will they kind of go away from that, or will they keep hoisting 35 a game? But they are certainly getting up the number of shots required to kind of have those averages play out.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you want to look on the brighter side of the number one offense in the country, they are in the bottom half of the country in terms of the luck rating, which is basically like shots you're expected to make, but you don't. They are in the bottom half. So there are more shots that they should be making, the metrics that they simply are not. And this offense can continue to play at a higher level. The question is, if the offense doesn't show up, can they figure out a way to get stops on the defensive end? From time to time, they've shown the ability, but it's more consistently doing that.
Absolutely. Who did you have as a winner from the week that was?
I mean, the Pac-12 is a loser, but Washington State deserves a shout out here. They've been playing some really good basketball. Half a game out, one extra loss in the loss column behind Arizona and Oregon, tied with Colorado, who they just beat, and they beat Utah as well. They've won five of their last six, including wins on the road at USC, who is just horrific right now. Stanford, who has been playing pretty well, and then a win over Arizona. We will forget the loss against Cal, which is a bad one overall. But yeah, the Washington State has played significantly better since conference play has started, especially in the last couple of games. They struggled with that Colorado-Utah road trip, as a lot of teams do, and have bounced back pretty nicely from that with some big wins, including wins over Arizona and then Colorado this week.
Yeah, I mean, they got back both Colorado and Utah at home, and out of all of the travel pairs in the Pac-12 this year, that is the toughest combination. Some of that is just, too, there are a lot of bad teams, but also credit where credit's due there. I mean, this is an extremely, extremely hard place to win, and I mean, we were both very excited when Kyle Smith left the West Coast Conference, San Francisco, and took this job. It has been a very, very slow build. The Cal loss, as you said, is going to kind of hurt the resume. But right now, you know, those two quad one wins over Arizona, over Colorado, carry a lot of weight in a conference where there's not an opportunity to get a lot of them. I think right now this is a team that's trending to be included in the field, which is, again, at a place like Washington State, absolutely huge, especially if you don't have a Klay Thompson on your team.
Yeah, and they're top 50 KenPom too, which is something to watch out for, because teams that are in that little bubble can push themselves across the NCAA tournament bubble, to reuse the word, much easier than some of those teams that maybe have caught lightning in a bottle, won a couple of big ones, and then, you know, have forgotten how to play basketball for a bit. So they're a very good defensive team. Like you said, the problem might be that they're running out of just quality games in Pac-12 play, where other teams can leapfrog them because of that.
Yeah, I mean, for any team in the Pac-12, really, it's just hold serve. And I mean, they've got three road games in a row. Yeah. After this stretch is going to be difficult, all winnable games, but you just have to take care of business before you have another big opportunity, which will be probably Arizona is their next big one. But they have done well so far to put themselves in this position, somewhere where I don't really think anyone was expecting them to be. It's just the Cal loss. Like, anything else is not really going to hurt them too much in terms of their missteps this year. But I mean, they continue winning the way they have been recently. Yeah, this is a tournament team.
Yep.
Keeping it out west, I had New Mexico as a winner. Five wins in a row, especially the very loud 34-point beatdown of Nevada, who I understand is trending down, but probably is still a tournament team. You really don't see results like that too often. We've kind of talked about the Mountain West, how difficult it is. It seems like every week there's a team or two who are really rounding into form or riding some good momentum. And I think when you look at the backcourt, Isaiah Stevens, probably the best individual player in the Mountain West, but the combination of Mashburn and House for New Mexico is probably the best overall backcourt. And then we have seen some great games in a supporting role from Nelly Jr. Joseph, who every time I hear that name, I feel like the announcer is misspeaking. It's like, don't you mean Nelly Joseph Jr.? It's like, no.
Not so fast.
But, you know, 26-8 in the game against Utah State, another double-double, 12-10 in the beatdown over Nevada. So anything they're getting from him in a sort of supporting role to the firepower they have in the backcourt is huge. And, I mean, overall, New Mexico has been a phenomenal change of scenery for Richard Pitino. Kind of ran out the clock at Minnesota, a program that has floundered, to put it generously, since he left. And he's looking like he's ready for another trip back to the big dance.
Yeah, they're playing great basketball overall. I mean, five-game winning streak, every win has been double digits plus. You've got two wins over ranked teams in that stretch, Utah State and San Diego State. A couple of road wins at Air Force, which can be a tricky one, and then San Jose State, and as you mentioned, this Nevada team, who is better than probably their 3-4 record in the Mountain West shows right now. It's tough sledding in the Mountain West right now. You've got Boise State, who's playing good ball. You've got Wyoming, who just had a huge win. UNLV is playing tough at Nevada, San Diego State, Colorado State. Like, that's their next six games. It's going to be a very difficult stretch for this team, but if they can come out 5-1 in that group of games, expect to see them at or around the top 15 in the country, because that's just, one, how good they have to be in order to win that many games in this iteration of the Mountain West, but two, that's how far those games will carry.
100%. I have two more, but I will I'll throw it to you. I was feeling pretty nice this week.
As was I. I'm going to go with Richmond, the Spiders.
Yeah,
at Richmond. 7-0 atop the A-10. They beat Dayton in the showdown for first place. They have won, I think it's 10 straight right now, dating back to December, since they lost to Florida. And they have looked good doing it. Jordan King is playing very well for the Spiders. This is a bit of a surprise team overall. They play very good defense. Offense can be suspect at times, but when they get you into those slower games, grinded out kind of games, that is where they like to be, and that's exactly what happened against Dayton. It was an incredibly ugly first half, 20-15 at the break before the teams both broke out for 49 points in the second half, but they did their damage early enough by slowing down that Dayton Flyers offense.
Yeah, that's the craziest split you're ever going to see. Now Richmond has beaten their closest competitors. They also have a win over Loyola, who, shout out, is hanging around in third in the A-10. Finally,
yeah,
kind of holding their own in their newish league. But you know, Chris Mooney is one of the more underrated coaches nationally. Obviously, the big win in the tournament a couple of years ago, and now Richmond is trying to build some momentum towards there. Probably going to be a very tough sell as an at-large team, but win over Dayton, that's all you can do really in the A-10 this year to really bolster your case. They defend at an extremely high level. I did pick up Jordan King a couple weeks ago in fantasy, and he has just been putting up numbers each and every game. The Spiders obviously would like to just win the league and not really have to sweat out Selection Sunday, but they are making it a more interesting proposition than I think anyone could have foreseen, because it has been all we've really talked about is just, this is Dayton's league. Are they just going to cruise? Is anyone really going to challenge them? And you know, Richmond clearly got that message and took it to heart and was able to come away with a huge, huge win. Shout out to the Spiders.
Yeah. Make the top of the A-10 fun, at least. Like this.
Yeah.
This is an historically great league, and it has not lived up to it the last couple of years. I'd love to see just a nice battle for first place here.
There is some level of intrigue now, because I do like Loyola. They seem to be a rung below, and you know, VCU hanging around there too. But we at least appear to have a two-horse race. So that's more than was expected.
Exactly.
Last one for me was Iowa State.
Okay.
Hilton Magic. It's back. They are also a big time grind you out team. Very good defensive team. Coach TJ has been doing a really good job since he's gotten there. That was a move that was not met with a lot of fanfare, I thought for good reason, because you know, he hadn't really lit the world on fire at UNLV, but all he's done is win since he's gotten there. Hasn't always been pretty, but you can't really argue with the overall results. It's not a super deep team, but you have big contributions from guys like Gilbert, Trey King, and the freshman Momchilovic. If I'm saying that right, but he has hit some big shots this year, really since November. He's somebody who really didn't have much of a learning curve as a freshman. And I know that's been huge for a team that at times can be a little offensively challenged, but anytime you beat Kansas, it's a big week. Kansas State has been near the top of the Big 12 as well. So both of those together is a great week, and they are also another team that is building some great momentum. I don't think anyone would really expect them to kind of be in the position they are near the top of the Big 12. But you could, to be fair, say that about a few teams. It's an interesting race right there with Texas Tech, another sort of surprising team, but everybody's chasing Houston at this point. You have a leg up on Kansas. This is the part of the year where it looks over for Kansas, and Iowa State's contributing to that. So they're following their part of the script, at least.
They are. They definitely are. They've played some great basketball. I think that the difference between this Iowa State team and Iowa State teams of years past is they actually score the ball pretty well. Like, they average 80 points a game, which is very different from maybe the slower. It is still a grinded out kind of style. It's not necessarily the slowest. They are just defensively so good. if they can get the offense to continue to pick up and pick up the pace in terms of efficiency, the sky is the limit for this team. I mean, their neighbors in KenPom are Duke and Marquette. Those are two pretty good teams to be associated with at this point in the season, as we are at the last day of January, first day of February, as people are listening to this. Like, not bad company whatsoever. Obviously, it is a brutal schedule in the Big 12. There are no nights off at this point. And their schedule will continue to get difficult as they've got four of their next six on the road.
Yeah, I mean, they are typically like reverse Iowa, with the offense kind of hovering around the 100, 120 mark in KenPom. They're 51st. So you're right. It is definitely an improvement. And I think everyone in Ames is at least breathing a little sigh of relief to see that they're not going to have to win games in the 50s. They can, but it's not something they are limited to. So that's definitely an improvement from years past. But yeah, it's going to be an absolute battle. They've already knocked off Houston. So they can beat anyone in this conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Appalachian State, to continue on the States. This is my last like legit dive into it. And then I have two quick shout outs for the winners, but App State, they've won six in a row. They completed the sweep over James Madison, which is as good as you can do in the Sun Belt. They sit atop the league at 8-1 in a very fun and competitive league that I don't think enough people are paying attention to. You have Troy just a game back. Troy is a very good basketball team. James Madison's two back. Louisiana's two back. Southern Miss with Andre Curbelo is two games back. And Marshall, who has played well in the last couple of years, also two games out of that first place spot. Overall, App State is just looking very strong in a good league. And they, like I said, picked up the two biggest wins you can, swapping James Madison. They are defensively solid if they can figure out the offensive end. Very similar to a couple teams we've talked about. If they can just find more consistency on that end of the floor, they could not only win the league, but also also win a game in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Auburn too. That was one of the biggest wins. Kind of a head scratcher at the time, and then found out App State's pretty damn good too. And they've got a great home environment themselves. Is James Madison going to miss the tournament? These are questions now.
Real questions,
as they are having some real struggles in their own league. They had the one-off loss to the Fighting Andre Curbelos, but I mean, you can very confidently argue they are not the best team in the Sun Belt, because Appalachian State is, and they have proven that on the court. This has been a really fun league the last few years, especially with all of the infusion of new blood, mostly from Conference USA, that has really improved it over the last couple of years. But this is going to be an outstanding race to the finish. I would expect James Madison makes up some ground on Troy, and then it's down to a two horse race. But even if not, Southern Miss is a lot better when Andre Curbelo has been in the fold, go figure. It's like the A-10, there's a lot of drama here, but a much deeper field from which to choose, which makes it a lot more fun. But shout out to App State for sweeping James Madison and being atop the heap right now.
It's going to be a great conference tournament to watch. Just a couple of weeks, which is crazy to think. Two quick shout outs. One, the High Point Panthers. They have won 10 in a row. They sit atop the Big South, which is another typically competitive league with some good teams. Asheville, Gardner Webb, Winthrop, Radford, all different teams that you have heard year in, year out. They are very funny metrically. They are top 40 offensive team. They sit at 34th in KenPom's offensive efficiency, and they are 298th in defensive efficiency. So love to score it. Don't love to defend it. Overall, just a really interesting and fun team to watch. So if you have a chance, check them out. Duke Miles, almost a 20-point per game guard, really good shooter as well. And then the other one is Green Bay. Green Bay is a story that I don't think many people are talking about or aware of. The Phoenix were 3-29 last year. They are 14-9 and 9-3 in the Horizon League, sitting atop the conference right now, over Youngstown State and Oakland. the turnaround has been remarkable. Noah Reynolds leading that team, and they've got just a few games left to close out the regular season title. They will not have to play any of the top teams between Youngstown State and Oakland. I'm sorry, they will play Youngstown State twice. They don't play Oakland. That can decide, those two games will decide the conference champion, assuming all continues to go well for the Phoenix.
Yeah, just the only thing to add on those two, my initial reaction to High Point's, like, I know it's not Tubby Smith anymore, but
no.
Here's Alan Huss, first year head coach, leading High Point to an 18-4 record. So shout out there. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Good stuff all around. For my losers, I have to quickly just mention Arizona again. They ping pong back and forth. Lose to Oregon State, you are going to find yourselves here. I don't know if it was just PTSD. You see another orange and black team and think Princeton and panic. Mm-hmm. But that was a game that Arizona just has no business being remotely close with. And, they end up losing to Jordan Pope and the Beavers. So that's bad. That's the worst team in what is a bad conference. And I just, for the life of me, I am just really struggling to figure out Arizona this year. I see so many good things. And when they lose, it is very, very loudly. Either it's just an instant classic against FAU. They get blown out by Stanford. They lose in a buzzer beater to Oregon State. I mean, mostly they call attention to it because they're losing to a bad team, as that is most of the Pac-12. But yeah, this is, I had said at the start of the conference season, when they had really struggled out of the gate, you know, this is a league that Arizona should comfortably win by at least three games.
Yeah.
They're still tied for first now, but I mean, they just cannot seem to get any sort of separation. Does not matter where the other team is in the standings. They will usually find a way to make it a competitive game until their backs are fully up against the wall, after kind of that slow start to conference season. So maybe they're back in that position now. Maybe that's where they like to be. They have to get a little uncomfortable, but you know, for a team that should have realistic national championship aspirations, you know, this is another confusing result that really should not be happening.
Yeah, they're just so frustratingly inconsistent all the time. Yeah. And I mean, that is probably what a lot of Carolina fans will say about Caleb Love as a basketball player. So it kind of makes sense that he leads this team, but in the same breath, like, he has kept them in so many games that they probably had no business being in. But yeah, I think this feels like enough right now to say that I can't in good on, like, earnestly pick Arizona to go far in the NCAA tournament this year. Naturally, they will have a scorching hot February and March getting into the tournament, and then I'll say this is it, that they put it together, they figured it out, and then they're going to run into somebody like App State, even though I think App State's too good, but somebody along those lines, maybe a High Point to piggyback off of what we were just talking about.
That would be realistic.
Do a shootout, and all of a sudden it's over because they just can't score.
Yeah, I don't know. They are like Purdue in that, like, the regular season this year, however high they soared, it wouldn't really matter till you kind of throw a run together in March. But thankfully, Fairleigh Dickinson exists, so that does not get talked about at all. But they're not even reaching the level that Purdue has, which is, you know, a couple blips, but pretty consistent, good basketball and a lot of blowout wins along the way. Like, every time that you start to kind of buy back into Arizona, something will happen that will leave you questioning why you did in the first place. So, yeah. And we do unintentionally seem to pile on Caleb Love on the show, but up until last night and the loss to Georgia Tech, Carolina has been absolutely cooking. With RJ Davis kind of running the show there. So yeah, it's not a good time for him.
No. Colorado State, and it's not necessarily the losses, and they did put up a big win over San Diego State, which kind of stops this skid here. They've lost 4 of 7 against better teams in the Mountain West. It's the way they lost this Wyoming game. The 11-point lead with like 48 seconds left. Wyoming finds a way to force overtime, and then they lose an OT. Inexcusable for a team of this caliber, and that can be a very damaging loss come March. I don't think it will be at the end of the day, but it does have the potential to cause some problems, because this isn't the Graham Ike, Hunter Maldonado, Wyoming team. This is a different iteration, and they are decent, but they're not great. And it's a game they should have won. Like, you should be closing out games where you're up double digits with less than a minute to play.
Yeah, and I mean, also losing to Nevada as well, who's a team that has really been struggling. But yeah, I mean, that was a huge story for all the wrong reasons if you're a Colorado State fan, because it's just, you're right. Like, that's a game you win 100 out of 100 times. I mean, it's just taking care of business at the end, getting out of there. They were unable to do so. So now we have to talk about it. But yeah, that's Wyoming is the one team in the Mountain West I can't quite figure out. They don't really know who they want to be. Like, they've been comfortably outside of the tournament picture pretty much all year, but they've had some good wins in conference play, and they're a team that has proven you cannot take them lightly. So I don't know if that's what happened at the end there or what, but yeah, Colorado State is just, they were a team for a lot of the season that kind of thought like they could have a pretty high seed for what the Mountain West has been able to do. But then you have a week like this and kind of undo everything. Got to think they're pretty frustrated with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And part of it probably has to be, one, the league is a lot better than they anticipated, which is just bad overall, because you've got to play each game and take each opponent seriously. But two, maybe reading a little too much into all the praise of how good this team is or how good this team could be and how high they can fly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair too. Because it is a battle each and every night. And they did well to get a huge win over San Diego State. But yeah, it's like, even your quote unquote need for a bounce back is coming up against a team of that caliber.
So right.
It's difficult every night.
Yeah.
My other loser, Auburn. This was a great week for those who said they did not really have any good wins, because they fell short. Some quad one opportunities, losing to Alabama and Mississippi State. When they win, they look so good. But the Alabama definitely made them uncomfortable. Mississippi State as well. You know, Mississippi State is kind of a more physical team, and Alabama made that a more physical game. That was a very hate-filled and fueled basketball game. I still am a believer in Auburn, but at some point you're going to have to win games like that. And they just did not get that done last week.
No, they did not. And they let each team dictate the tempo and the style of the game. Alabama, like you said, muddied it up, made it physical, and was able to push the tempo when they needed and score when they needed. Mississippi State does what they do best. They made it a rock fight, and that is not where Auburn wants to be overall. They were able to slow things down and really focus on possession after possession. Mississippi State didn't even shoot the three well in this game. They were horrible from the free throw line and still found a way to win. So just a really off game, whether or not you want to call it, you know, Alabama knocking them out of rhythm or whatever it was, but Mississippi State continued that and they paid for it.
Absolutely. That was actually it for me for losers. I did have Oklahoma on there, but they got a win last night, so I took them off.
I have a few others that I can run through real quick and then a shout out. But Memphis deserves to be on here.
Yeah.
Road losses. They've lost three in a row. Road losses at Tulane and then a road loss at UAB on Sunday. ESPN trying to do like a talk to Penny during the game thing was very weird, and it got super awkward because they gave up a lead and just were playing horribly. But it's just ugly since the Wichita State win where they scored 112 points. They really have not looked in sync on either end of the floor. And we talked about this a little bit, but this is a team that when it hits its ceiling can be very good, but the floor is also very low on this group. And you can see that losing to some of the teams in the American that are not expected or will not be really competing for the top of the league. UAB 5-2. I don't know that I anticipate them being there much longer. Tulane has struggled. South Florida, like we talked about, has been a very nice surprise at 6-1. I don't know that they'll keep it up, but for now, they've been a nice story.
Yeah, the American has been pretty good this year. And I guess in conference play, but
yeah,
there have been a lot of teams that have really given Memphis a lot of great games. FAU has kind of had a lot of the same struggles, but
yeah,
they have been able to finish more of these games than Memphis has. Memphis has just, like we said, been playing with fire for a lot of the conference season, and you know, sometimes just kind of run out of time, and now they are in danger of falling way down the standings. Just, you know, this is three in a row now. It presumably gets easier this week because Rice and Wichita State are
bad.
Well, they're bad. Wichita did just beat SMU, who is tied for Memphis. So there's hope for the Shockers there. And I mean, Memphis is in no position to take anyone lightly right now. But yeah, we've seen what they can be at their best. That was a lot of non-conference play, but they have been just wildly inconsistent in American play. And like, even with the undefeated start, the signs were there that a losing streak like this was probably going to come if things didn't change, and things did not change.
No, they did not change at all. I have one more team to talk about, then a couple of shout outs to DePaul. I got to witness DePaul live in person last night. They are just so non-competitive with the Big East right now. It is horrible. And it is depressing to watch and depressing to see. They scored 39 points against Seton Hall in this game. I believe 14 of their 39 points came at the free throw line. And it was a very generous whistle. Demons were plus 8 in the foul category. They were plus 10 in the free throw discrepancy. And then they scored 18 points in the first half. Two of those were absolute moonshot threes late in the shot clock by Jalen Terry. This team legitimately could have been held to 25 or fewer points if it weren't for the charity stripe. But it is a team that has simply quit, it seems. I hope that's not the case, because I would like to see more competitiveness from DePaul in the rest of this season, outside of the return trip to Newark, obviously. But it's just sad. It's just sad to see a program with such great history and UAB tradition sitting bottom of the Big East again and again, and just not even being close to competitive.
I don't know what I was expecting, but when Stubblefield got fired, I thought for sure they had more than three wins this year. No,
one of them is Chicago State as well.
Yeah. Oh, Northwestern couldn't do it.
No.
So there's no shame there. But yeah, it's bad. I don't know. I don't know where they go now. You know, they tried the experienced assistant coach route with Stubblefield. Think you have to take a bigger swing at this point just to remain relevant, because I mean we're getting close to the point where it's like, why would the Big East want DePaul anymore? Like, what are they bringing to the table? So you know, there have been some interesting names thrown out there, like, you know, full mercenary route and go after Will Wade hard. Mm-hmm. See if that's something that can intrigue him. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Indiana State on the show. Schertz is going to be a name that a lot of bigger programs are presumably going to go after, and some proximity to DePaul being in the Midwest. But yeah, it's going to be somebody who has some balls and or thinks very, very highly of themselves, that they can be the one to ultimately turn this around after so many before them have failed.
Yeah, I don't envy the position at all. It is pretty bad overall. Yeah. Like, everything about it is bad. It does make you wonder how a search firm came down to Tony Stubblefield and Kenny Payne, who were two just home run hires, but said John Shire wasn't the guy. It just blows my mind. But let's trust the process again and see what happens.
Out of those two, they chose correctly, though.
They did.
Louisville is one of DePaul's wins this year.
It is. Last one for me, or last team, and then I have a person to shout out. Surprise, surprise. The Pacific, the University of the Pacific, a once mighty program, has fallen on very tough times. They're 6-16 this year, 0-7 in West Coast Conference play. St. Mary's held them to just 28 points in their win over the weekend. 14 points in each half, so it was a very nice, even two-touchdown half for the Tigers. It is just beyond ugly over out on the West Coast for the University of Pacific.
Yeah.
There's nothing to add. I mean, yeah.
They have also just... We have seen kind of a rising tide in the West Coast Conference over the last several years, where a lot of programs have gotten better, you know, like San Francisco, Santa Clara, yeah, even Portland. It's never happened for Pacific.
They went down, if anything.
Yeah, it's not happening now.
No. Last shout out is Jeff Goodman.
Yeah.
He is the worst and continues to be the worst. That is the last loser I have.
Yeah. Just something I think any PR class, public relations, would be good to kind of take that video and Doster's response to the whole thing about, speaking of DePaul, Blue Demon Degenerate making Divine Providence, which admittedly I still have not watched, but I saw it got put back up on YouTube. So I will have to do that some point, but
it's a solid film.
I have heard good things. And then to kind of come back from, like, you know, The DMs came out threatening. I mean, I don't know how old this guy is. I would assume younger than us. But kind of not a great look for Goodman or Doster. And then to, especially Doster, really bothered me. Just his response of, you know, Goodman acting that way. No one said sorry, which is like,
no one has said sorry.
Like, so anytime you have to have an apology that's like 7 paragraphs and then it just doesn't even include sorry. Like, there are more efficient ways to do this, but kind of inventing this straw man argument that was not what anyone was saying about how, like, Goodman doesn't help kind of student reporters. Right. And then kind of people just latching onto that, like, a lot of respected people today, who I won't name, but, you know, guys who contribute to certain things that we read, and we've had fellow contributors on this show before coming out and saying, you know, Goodman does help out, you know, student media. That's not what this has been about at all. It's about Goodman going out of his way to threaten someone because he carries water for coaches and he has a good relationship with Ed Cooley. It's so clear if you consume any of his content, like, he will never really say a bad thing about Chris Holtman. He went through and did an article the other day that was the 20 worst hires of, I don't know, the last 10 years. And, you know, obviously no mention of his friend Archie Miller. So that immediately gets thrown out as lose all credibility. So, I mean, he's a clown. We've known this. You know, it's Big East Twitter seems very united against him. They might have been before, but they especially are now.
It
Yeah.
It was always, I mean, Andy Katz was probably public enemy number one just because he does not know ball in any sense of the term. But like, so it's like a comedic factor at this point of Andy Katz just being paid to spew nonsense about basketball. But this was like one of those truly galvanizing moments for Big East Twitter where you just saw the full wrath of this group come out. So that was interesting.
Andy Katz is almost like a bit at this point.
Yeah,
you're right. It is just funny. He'll do like top 10 power forwards and only like four of them are power forwards who also start.
Jameer Young will always be in a list no matter what the category is.
Best shooters. And yeah, a couple of years ago, his top 20 Big Ten players preseason just made the rounds. It's like, I think Chase Audige was top 10 or something. It's like, what sport is this man watching? But yeah, I think he means well. He's just kind of funny and not always the best informed. Goodman's just a bad person. I'm glad that everyone's kind of on board with that now too.
It's nice to be on the right side of history.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that hard.
No.
Just be a normal human. all right. That will do it for us. Huge Saturday ahead. Couple top 10 matchups, and we'll talk about those, and we'll talk about more when we talk to you next time.